walking like an old man. I was in the water again yesterday, only I was bathing the dog, and the dog twisted and I twisted, and my back is out, so hopefully it'll come back soon. We should be okay in the water, though. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. We're going to be brief this morning. We've had classes on baptism, and we've gone through why it is that we have baptism. And I think that baptism and christenings are pretty well recognized as someone who steps forward and takes a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and wants others to know. And so we've got three youngsters here, Madison and Mackenzie and Jimmy, who are going to tell everybody that they know the Lord is their Savior. And they're not like Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, only he did it secretly. And he went to see the Lord in the dark because he didn't want to be recognized as being connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he snuck around. And that's not good. If you believe something, stand for it. And I believe when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to really stand for it. The Lord was one who got baptized, and I just want to talk about the significance of that, and then we're going to get wet. Matthew chapter 3. Then comes Jesus, this is verse 13, then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, the river Jordan, unto John to be baptized. And John said, "No, I need to be baptized of you. And you're coming to me?" And Jesus answered unto him and said, "No, you baptize me." And Jesus, when he was baptized, came up out of the water, and the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and landing upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You wonder, why was it that Jesus needed to be baptized? I mean, he was God, he didn't sin, there was nothing wrong with his life. Why was he baptized? And I think the message that we get here is that baptism doesn't save a person. Baptism doesn't get rid of your sins. What baptism does, it says, I want the world to know who I am and what I stand for. And that's what baptism's all about. The Lord Jesus wanted the world to know that he was the Son of God. And it was witnessed accordingly. He went into the water. John the Baptist baptized the Lord Jesus, and he came out of the water, and the heavens opened up, and the Spirit of God came down and landed on him. And then the voice from heaven, God himself, God the Father, saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And so there was, can you imagine being on the side of the river and hearing that voice from heaven saying, "Take a look at him. He's my Son, and I'm well pleased in him." And so that was the time when the Lord Jesus was in his 30s, he said, "I want the world to know who I am." He'd lived quietly up to that point, and now he was going to go, and he was going to start doing miracles and healing people and doing wonderful things for people, and this was the start of it so that they would recognize who he was. So we have Mackenzie and Madison. They're back there, and Jimmy, who are going to say, "I know Jesus is my Savior, and so I want the world to know." And that's really what the message is all about this morning. And so we're going to start, and Madison's going to read her testimony. I'm sorry?
I'm going to read it.
Okay, you're going to read it? Okay, Lori's going to read the testimonies, and then I'm going to meet them in the tank, and we're going to baptize them, okay? This is their mother.
Mackenzie has written, "I want to be baptized because I want everyone to know I believe in Jesus, that he is my Savior, and that when we believe in him, we can go to heaven someday. I want to be able to show my family and my friends who don't know Jesus that he can be their Savior too. I believe in Jesus, and I accept him as my Savior, and being baptized shows that I want him to guide my life, and I hope everyone else in my family does the same."
You can turn with me. Well, they're getting, Dan's ready to go into the waters as well. Let's turn to number 498. We're going to sing one verse, and keep your finger in here because we're going to do a verse in between those who get baptized as each is baptized. Number 498, Oh Happy Day. Oh happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray.
Mackenzie, can I ask you a question? Do you know Jesus is your Savior?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Mackenzie, Olivia Bogart, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Good. Love you.
Verse 2.
Happy bond that seals my vows to him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill his house while to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray.
Madison wrote, I would like to be baptized because I want everyone to know that Jesus is my Savior. I want the people in my family and my friends who don't believe in Jesus to know he is the only God and he died for us so that we do not have to die for the punishment of sin. These are the reasons I would like to be baptized. There is no one above him and he is the only God. Everyone around the world should realize that Jesus is the one who died for us on the cross just so we should not suffer of the punishment of sin.
Jesus is your Savior?
Yes. That was a yes.
Okay. Madison Elizabeth Bogart, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
First three. He's done the great transactions done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing. Every day, when Jesus washed my sins away. And now we're going to hear the testimony of Jimmy McLaughlin, not to be confused with Jim McLaughlin.
The reason I want to be baptized is because I want to show people I am a Christian. I grew up at Woodside Chapel. I started coming here when I was zero, so I spent my whole life here. I attend Sunday school, Awana, and BBS here. I also go to a Christian school called Timothy Christian. Since I was eight, I've been going to Pine Bush Bible Camp. so I've heard about God and his son Jesus. One day I read an article about salvation in the Adventures in Odyssey magazine. That night I put my faith in Jesus Christ and I ran to tell my mom and my dad. I was 7 years old. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 1, 1 through 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates on it day and night.
And warm in here. Jimmy, I am so very proud of you. I'm especially proud of you. You're academic and you're athletic, but today is the day my heart's rejoicing that you put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're making a confession in front of all these wonderful saints that you know and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that verse that you picked out, it talks about don't hang out with the bad crowd. And I know you're at Awana Vacation Bible School and at Pine Bush and at Timothy Christian School, you're surrounded by people who are like-minded like you are. And when you think alike and you hang out with the right people, although we are supposed to be in the world, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. But in the second verse, in the second part of that verse, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That means his delight is in the reading of God's word. And I just pray that your delight would be in that for the rest of your life and always. Always stay focused on him and always stay focused upon his word. I have a question for you. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Based upon that confession and your testimony, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now rest my long divided heart, fixed on this blissful center rest. Nor ever from my Lord depart, with him of every good possessed. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
And now before Dan comes to the platform, we're going to sing one more hymn. We're going to turn over to hymn number 503. We're going to stand and sing with joyful hearts.
Got to get my glasses. Sorry about that. So now we can progress with the second half of the schedule. And let's turn to the book of Judges. Book of Judges. There's a theme in the book of Judges that I think is something that we should pay attention to. The comment that's made in the book of Judges is that the people did whatever they wanted to be right in their own eyes. And it really didn't matter about God. And that's pretty instructive for us when we think about our own lives. How do we govern our own lives? Do we really care about what God wants for us in our lives? And do we really care about God's word? And many times God spoke to his own people, the Jewish nation. He said to them, listen, keep my law. If you do that, do what I ask you to do, don't sin, please me, I'll bless you. But if you don't, you're going to reap the consequences. Sure enough, they did what was wrong in the eyes of God. They did what was right in their own eyes. They got punished. They were sorry for it, and then God rescued them. And so when you go through the book of Judges, it mentions many times how they turned away from the Lord, they worshiped idols, and then God punished them, and then they woke up and said, oh, I guess we did something wrong against God. We better repent. And then God raised up a judge who saved them. They started pleasing God again, and then over the course of time, they turned away, worshiped idols, and it goes on and on through that whole book of Judges. Finally, at the point, they say to God, we don't want judges anymore. We want to have a king like every other nation. And they wanted to be like other nations. Whereas God said to them, you're not like every other nation. You're my people. You're my people. And so as we go through the book of Judges, just remember the theme that goes on. Now, I'm going to take chapter 3 here as a difficult chapter to read because it talks about some activity that's pretty gruesome. And I don't want to spend time on that, but I want to understand the principle of why God allows us to see something gruesome happen. And then we're going to spend a little time on the fellow who has one verse devoted to him in the whole book of Judges. And then there's another verse in chapter 5 that talks about him, Shamgar, and what we really learn from Shamgar as it relates to us in our lives. And I'd like to then relate that to some New Testament principles as to how we can live and we can protect our spiritual lives when we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the big question that I ask you this morning, do you care enough to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? We just had 3 baptisms. Great. And these are 3 little ones who have decided on their own to say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, and I want everybody to know. That's significant, because I know there's been times in my life where I was in a situation, and I knew I had to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I kind of thought twice about it because maybe I might be made fun of. I think we've all been there, done that type thing. And so we just pray that these little ones that have taken a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ will have a consistency in walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to pray for these ones. You know, these aren't just kids that come to Woodside Chapel. They're our kids. And we need to, along with their parents, be there for them, pray for them, and help them take a stand. And I can remember as a young guy, I guess I was probably Jimmy's age, and I was probably doing something that wasn't entirely correct in the eyes of another individual, and he was right. Putting his hand on my shoulders and says, you know, is that what a Christian would do? And I'm thankful for that, because it wasn't my parents. It was somebody else who cared enough about me to say, hey, this isn't really pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I value that, and it was a lesson to me that as older individuals, we need to care enough about our kids to help them spiritually. And so I challenge everybody here to look at your spiritual walk, because you don't have to say a word, because these young ones are watching us, and our example is what's teaching them. It's not what we say that teaches them. It's what our example is. And so we have here in Judges the example of individuals who went away from the Lord, the nation was published, and then he raised up folks. So I want to take a look at briefly in chapter 3, and we're going to, am I in the right chapter here? Yes it is, I'm sorry. We're going to read about Ehud, and we're going to read about Shamgar. 2 different individuals. The children of Israel were under the control of the king of Mesopotamia. His name was Shushan-Rishathaim. Say that fast a number of times. Shushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. He was under the control, or had the God's people under his control, and they were doing wicked things. What is it that they were doing? It says here in verse 5, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, all kinds of ites, and they took their daughters to be their wives, and they gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. You know, that's something that we need to really look hard on, because as our kids grow, what is it that we're teaching them? And these folks were warned that they should not involve themselves in marriage with folks that were against God and were idolaters. And here they were giving their daughters to the sons of these wicked nations. And they were also taking their daughters and their sons into their families. And what was happening was that the bloodline not only was being diluted, but they were turning away from God and worshiping idols. And you know, you kind of wonder about that. Is that what you really want for your kids? Do you really want your kid to marry somebody who doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ? And as somebody who's growing up and taking a look at possibly getting married in life, who is it that you want to marry? Do you want to marry somebody who loves the Lord, or do you want to marry somebody who could care less about the Lord Jesus Christ? And I can assure you that on the authority of this chapter and many other areas, that it doesn't bode well for somebody who is mixed with somebody who doesn't love the Lord. And so the Lord warns them, tells them what's happening. They come under the control of this king of Mesopotamia, Shushan-Rishathaim, and they're punished. They're punished. And so the Lord raises up a judge, and his name is Ehud. Now, there's two things you're going to see in this chapter, and you're going to see throughout the book of Judges, is that most of the judges that are raised up to judge Israel and to deliver Israel from the hand of the enemy didn't have weapons. It's interesting that the nations that took control of Israel took their weapons away. It's a subject that's around us today. If you want to control a nation, take their weapons away. And so they took their weapons away, and so Ehud is raised up. He doesn't have a weapon, and so he makes a weapon. He makes a weapon that is, looks like about 18 inches long, has a blade that's two-edged, and he uses it to deliver Israel. And the fellow that's in control of them is the king of Moab. Eglon is his name. Quite a large fellow, apparently. He liked his food. And so it was an indicator as to this type of man. He was in control of Israel, could care less about Israel, only cared about himself, and God raised up Eglon to go and deliver Israel from the control of this king of Moab and also Shushan-Rishathaim. So what Ehud does is he makes himself this weapon, and without going into the details, he goes and he, through deception, murders Eglon and delivers Israel. And we'll find out later on in the chapter that Israel was victorious. So what I want to equate here is that Ehud had to have a weapon to do so. And he was going up against an enemy that was in control of the whole nation of Israel, and he was able to get deliverance from them. The point I want to make to you is that there was absolutely no respect that God had for this man, Eglon, who was in control of Israel. He was their enemy, and God allowed Ehud to be victorious over that man. We need to understand that in our lives, we're up against an enemy. And the enemy is large. And we should have no respect for that enemy. That's Satan, the devil. God tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, and this is what he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the princes of the air. In other words, it's the legions of the devil who are out to get us. And we often kind of take a look at the attacks that we're taking from the devil, and we have I'd say some folks have a healthy respect of the devil, and we shouldn't have that. The devil against us is a defeated enemy. God allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to defeat the devil at the cross. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the devil thought he had the victory when he went into death. But when he rose again from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ defeated the devil with his own weapon. And I think it's good to know that God allowed the victory to take place at the cross of Calvary, and God won, the devil lost. I keep saying that. We need to understand that we are not to respect. In fact, what we have in Ephesians chapter 6 is that God has given us the weaponry to actually defeat the devil ourselves and to stand against him. You don't have to make your own weapon. God has already given it to you. We don't have the time to go into the weaponry that God has given us. We've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We've got the helmet of salvation. We've got the breastplate. We've got all of those things that God has given us to defeat the devil. Because I can guarantee you, as you grow in your spiritual life, as you grow in your Christian life, you're going to be attacked. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was able to say to his disciples, expect problems. Expect these problems. Why? Because they hated me before they hated you. And so we need to always remember the example that we have in Judges of the Lord's people turning their back on God, God punishing them. He raises a judge, they have salvation, and they go into it again. And so I think that we really need to understand that God can give us the armor that allows us to stand against the devil. God's defeated the devil. Now I'd like to just take a look at a verse here at the end too. Verse 30, so Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. That's 80 years. Just the activity that Ehud had over Eglon, it gave them 80 years of rest from the enemy. And then after that, they were attacked again by the Philistines. Now, the Philistines were the consummate enemy of Israel. They were always out to get. Remember Goliath? He was after Israel. And so the Philistines were that enemy that was just a thorn in their flesh that kept going at them. It's the same as we expect in our lives. We have temptations in our life that we're always faced with. We're always being tempted to do the wrong thing. Remember the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. He says, you know, I'm a Christian. And I know what I should do that's right. And I know the things that I shouldn't do that are wrong. But here I am. I always end up doing the things that are wrong and never doing the things that are right. And so I've got this war going on within me, doing the things that are wrong, knowing what should be done right, not doing what's wrong, and just we know the temptations of life. And so that conflict is going on in his life. And at the end of it, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this nature that I've got? And we get the answer in the next chapter in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And so when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the knowledge that we know is that our sins are gone, there's no condemnation, and yet we need God's help to live a life where we do the things that are right instead of the things that are wrong. And so they were delivered from this for 80 years. Then we come to verse 31, and this is a very interesting one. And after him, and that's after Ehud, was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. Short verse, but so profound. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. You know what an ox goad is? I've seen an ox goad because I've seen oxen plowing. When I was in India, I actually saw a yoke of oxen pulling a plow down the field. And here was the fellow with these two oxen, this big old yoke across their neck, and they're walking in a straight line. And if they were going a little crooked, the fellow had a long stick with a point on it, and he'd poke them in the backside. And the ox would go like that, and it would straighten out the plow. And so the ox goad was really just to keep the oxen plowing in a straight line. Pretty harmless. It was basically a stick with a point on the end of it. But the point is that God provided this ox goad to Shamgar to deliver Israel from 600 Philistines who were trying to take the nation under their control. And so he delivered Israel as a result of that. What is the point of that? Well, no pun intended. The point that I'm raising here is that we might think that we're weak with the gifts that God has given us. And if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's all kinds of gifts that God has given to the church. Gifts to the church to help each other stay on the straight and narrow, so to speak. So your gift will help me. And my gift can help you to stay on the straight and narrow. We need each other. I was just talking to Dean just before coming into this, and we were talking about the personalities of children and how our personalities are so different. And I looked at Dean and I said, you know, our personalities are really different, aren't they? He said, yeah, you're right. And my conclusion on that is it's a good thing we're not all the same. Can you imagine if all of our personalities were the same? It'd be outright war. We need personalities that God has given us to help each other in our spiritual walk with the Lord. And so God has given all these different gifts to the church for the edification of the church of God. Who's the church of God? Is it this building? No. The church of God is every single person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ in the world and has professed that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They are part of the church of God. They are part of the body of Christ. And we need each other to help each other. And so here's Shamgar. He was raised up by God. And I wonder if he said to God, hang on a second. I don't have an AK-47. I've only got an ox goad. And God said, no, you've got an ox goad, and we're going to use that for the Lord. We might think our gift is a little weak, but in God's hands, it's sharp. In God's hands, it can win victories. And so as we look at this verse of Shamgar, Shamgar is able to rod a victory. To the point where not only is Shamgar able to win a victory, but in later verses we find out that he's actually referenced back as a person to take note of. And I'd like to turn to Judges chapter 5. I know we're getting ahead of it, but I think we need to reference this. And we'll read about this in the next week or two. And this is where Deborah and Barak have wrought a victory again. They prevailed over the king Jabin of Canaan. And so they're singing this song of praise. And here's what they say, verse 2. Praise you, the Lord, for avenging Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O kings, and give ear, O princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. They're singing praises because God has delivered them. Lord, when you went out of Seir, when you marched out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. Here's the verse. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, and I arose a mother in Israel. What they're pointing out in this song is, think back to the time when Shamgar was able to deliver to the point where people were able to walk through freely in Israel. They were able to walk in the byways without any fear of danger. How did that happen? The man had an ox goad. And yet it was so significant that years later, Deborah and Barak are singing a song that references back to what God did in the life of Shamgar and that ox goad. So what is the challenge? Let's turn to the New Testament. Sorry. Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. I know we talked about this chapter a couple of months ago, but I want to reference a couple of verses that really harken back to what the Apostle Paul is saying as it's referenced as we talk about Shamgar and we talk about Ehud. God raised these two people up, and they were basically not significant in the eyes of the nation of Israel, and yet God used them in a special way to deliver Israel. And I think the Apostle Paul is very similar on that count. He was the most unlikely guy that God would ever raise up to deliver and bring the gospel to the nations. He hated Christians. He hated Christians to the point where he killed them. He martyred them. He hated them. And he, in his own mind, thought he was pleasing God by killing Christians. Think about that. And yet God looked down and said, you know what? There's a man who has passion. There's a man who has conviction. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to kick him, and we're going to change the direction he goes in, and we're going to use that passion to my benefit and to the benefit of those who come in contact with the Apostle Paul. And so on the road to Damascus, God shines down onto him with a bright light, blinds Paul. And God from heaven, that voice that we talked about earlier about saying, this is my beloved son, calls down to Saul and he says, why are you persecuting me? Can you imagine Paul? Hang on a second here. Who's that? I'm the Lord Jesus Christ, who you persecute. And God was able to reach into the heart of that man and change the direction of his life. And even though he had all kinds of his own weaponry to get his job done, as far as he knew, God changed that. And here's what he says. In verse 13, brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul was arrested, brought under the control of God himself on the road to Damascus, and changed his outlook to the point where he says, you know, it doesn't matter if I was an amazing Jew. I had all this pedigree behind me. I was at the feet of Gamaliel. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. All that, he says, became garbage in the sight of his sight, and he then followed God to the extent where he was able to forget those things which are below. And he's the one who brings out in 1 Corinthians 12 all those different gifts that we can have, and Romans 12, and 1 Peter 4, all those different chapters, and Ephesians 4 talk about the gifts that God has given to the church. We can take those gifts that God has given you, insignificant as they might be, like the ox goad of Shamgar, and we can use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the challenge today is, let's recognize that God used Shamgar. God used Ehud, but he provided the proper weaponry at the time. When you talk about Gideon didn't have any weaponry either. We're going to look at that. Gideon got 300 men to circle around, and he had a light in a jar on one hand, in his left hand, and he had a trumpet in his right hand, and they broke the jars, the light came out, and it says they held the light in their left hand, and they held the trumpet in their right hand, and they cried out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And I thought about that. Hang on. How is it that they can cry about the sword when they have a light and a trumpet? It's because the weaponry was God's, and God used his own weaponry to defeat the Amalekites in that chapter. So all I'm saying to you is, let's recognize the challenge that we have with Shamgar. He had an ox goat. and God used it. Ehud had an 18-inch blade, and God used that to deliver Israel. And God can give you a little gift that not only can keep the devil at bay, but can benefit the church of God. And so, like the Apostle Paul, let's forget about who we were. Let's recognize who we are in the sight of God and press forward and be a positive influence on each other as we move forward. We have so much to thank the Lord for. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you again for your love and care for us, Lord. Thank you for the baptism of Madison and Mackenzie and Jimmy. Lord, we just pray that you would bless them and keep them, that they might walk with you, that they might be an influence for their lives as long as you leave us here, Lord. And now, as we've spoken a little bit about Ehud, difficult chapter to understand, but we do understand, Lord, that the enemy is big and it's ugly. And yet, Lord, you have given us the weaponry in Ephesians 6 where we can stand against the wile of the devils, and having done so, to continue to stand. Lord Jesus, you're wonderful. We love you. You're our Savior. We just pray that you would bless our time together this morning. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.